Talk Show. It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 478.
Happy Monday. What's happening, guys?
Look, not much, which is why we decided to call 3D Dill.
Well, it's Monday in Australia and it's Sunday in Canada. G'day, Dill.
Sunday night, 9:10 p.m.
Mate, burning the midnight oil. This is our first official check-in on the show. We've spoken to you FaceTime a bunch of times since you've gone. How are you, buddy?
I'm tired, but I'm good. I'm good.
What are you tired about?
I'm happy to be back. What am I tired about? Everything, life, school.
Still figuring it out.
Yeah,
100%. And so for people who have just joined listening to or watching the Daily Talk Show in the past month or so, 3D Dill spent 4 months in Australia interning with us, and now he's back to reality. What are you doing in regards to coffee? I mean, you had a bit of an obsession in Melbourne. What's it like over there?
It's not the same. I'll start with that. It's not the same. I've got a Keurig coffee maker at my house right now, which gets the job done, but it literally just broke about 30 minutes ago.
Oh, no.
Making a nighttime batch.
I'm in the process of trying to fix that, and it's not going too well at the moment, so I might have to get a – went to a grocery store. We have a grocery store called Longo's here in Canada, and they had a coffee press there. So I went into the store, showed the lady working at the coffee section the video that you guys did. she was dying of laughter. She said, "Oh, you won't have a problem at all using this one." So
how many times have you brought up your thumb and your coffee press injury since you've been back?
More than 10 times.
How many times have you sat people down to watch that video?
20 plus times.
Amazing. Brings it up 10 times, but he found a whole bunch of people that he didn't bring up to, but he made them sit down and watch the video. We were talking before you left about the stark reality of returning to normal life, because Australia wasn't normal life for you. What happened in that first week or two when you got back to reality?
It was kind of weird, like, because I was so used to just the routines that I had when I was in Australia. I'd wake up, go to the coffee shop, walk around, whether we'd be at work or if it was a weekend, just go out and kind of get lost somewhere. So coming back to places where I could just drive to get something was very strange.
Is it true that you smashed your parents' car 3 days after returning?
It wasn't 3 days. It was less than 24 hours, actually. And I didn't crash the car. I completely destroyed the rocker panel on it.
The rocker panel? What's a rocker panel used for?
I don't know.
You obviously need it. How much did it cost? And what sort of damage?
$800.
Yeah, it's not great. And so how did you
even visually? Can you tell that
it's physically dented, and then paint's basically all scratched off of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's coming off the thing, and like there's screws that hold the rocker panel into the chassis of the car. And I missed damaging the chassis by about an inch and a half.
That would have got you.
And so how did it even happen?
I'm in a parking lot, and I'm going around a corner.
Yeah.
And it's a very wide corner, and me not having driven a car in 4 months, I'm like, oh, I got this. So I start going around the corner, and I turn way too hard, and then all of a sudden the whole right side of the car just tilts up. I'm like, oh shit, that's not good.
Were you with anyone in the car?
Yeah, I was with one of my best friends, and she kind of freaks out. She goes, "You need to get off the curb now!" So I floor it, right? I put my foot down as hard as I can, and you hear the tires screeching, and then the front wheel comes off the curb, and then you just hear this loud and that was the sound of the rocker panel getting
dented.
Furiously dented.
Oh, shit. And so your first couple of weeks back, obviously people you're speaking to your other colleagues, I mean your other uni friends, and what they did. I mean, did you even listen to what they did, or you just told them about what you did?
I listened because I was genuinely interested, and I didn't want to be the guy that was like, "Oh, what did you do?" I went to Australia.
I
wanted to know, and like my roommate Zach did his at a hot rod shop, so he was building hot rods all summer.
Oh, that's shit.
Yeah, it was pretty dope, right? Other people did like stuff with digital marketing and making like plush toys, which was kind of cool. And then I had friends who were working in like really high-end furniture design companies, making like really expensive, like $7,000 chairs and couches.
What do you notice? Do you like, what do you look at most fondly of about your time in Australia that you couldn't necessarily see when you were here, but now that you're gone, you notice it?
Oh, like something that, maybe something that I took for granted when I was there, and now that I don't have that.
Yeah.
Other than AU79 coffee. I don't know. It's a tough one. I kind of want to say it, but I don't, like you guys and Mason.
Mm-hmm.
Just that.
I love that you.
You can say that.
You can say it. You can be nice.
I'd say that. I would say you guys.
Yeah. And you're working on a thesis at the moment.
Oh, quickly, yep. What did your teachers say? What did your uni lecturers say? Did they stay in touch with the journey?
Yeah, so more than I was aware of, actually. So I've got five classes this semester and seven or eight different profs across these classes. And first day of school, I go into my thesis class because that was my first class. So 8 a.m., sit down in class. And one of the profs walks in and goes, "It's 3D deal." Oh, man. In front of everybody, like everybody in the class is there. I'm like, oh, no.
You would have hated that. I mean, maybe they were just reading your t-shirt.
They were pretty, pretty impressed with it all. And they thought it was kind of funny too. Like, so what did you do all summer?
Yeah.
But I had a lot of fun. That's what I did.
Yeah. And were there anyone that you hang out with that was listening that you didn't realize that were listening to the show?
Not really, because most of my friends, like when they would listen, they would send me like a video or a Snapchat or a photo of it saying,
"Yeah,
listening to you on the podcast now." So I knew pretty much most of the people that, like most of my friends, but a lot of my friends' parents started listening too, which was kind of funny.
I'd spoken to you maybe 2 weeks after you got back, and I asked if you'd been listening, and you said no because of you. It sort of brought up some PTSD.
PTSD.
Explain that.
It was still in like the first week.
Yeah.
The first week of school. So I was like trying to do school and then listening to some podcasts, but not the Daily Talk Show, because it felt too weird.
Yeah.
Because listening to the Daily Talk Show when I was in school was exactly where I had started like 6 months ago. And it was a very strange mindset, but I got it started out now.
Oh, so you've started listening again?
I'm on like 464 or something like that.
Uh-huh. Any feedback?
Yeah, it sounds good.
Oh, that's good.
Sounds less Canadian, but
yeah, no, I get that. And so you're back to the thesis stuff. Tommy and I have never done a thesis in our lives.
Never plan on doing one.
Couldn't spell it. Thesis. Double S. Is there a double S in there? Single S. Two S's. Anyway.
T-E-S-I-S.
Yeah. So you're doing a thesis. What does that actually mean?
To be quite honest, I don't really know what it means. It's basically what separates our program, like our school program, from a diploma. So like in 7 months, I'll get a bachelor's degree of industrial design, and that is due in part to having a thesis project. But the thesis is basically a 8-month, 32-week comprehensive project where you go into research-based design, ergonomic-based design, and you're trying to find a proper problem definition you have to solve, and then going through all the nitty gritty parts of it to get from the problem to a design solution.
So is it true that you're redesigning the coffee press?
That'd be a great idea.
I mean, I would, but it seems a little risque.
And so what is it? When you were here, you were talking about you wanted to go to some red dirt parts of Australia, which we never got to, based on you're talking about this whole thesis thing.
Yeah. So like over the summer we had, for the 4 months over the summer, we had the task of coming up with 10 to 15 problem definitions. That's what they identify it in Classic. That's how they're marking it, is your problem definitions. And you're basically, the idea is to cast a broad net so that you can then narrow in and focus on a specific topic and focus that as much as you possibly can. So I was just trying to get a whole bunch of different ideas and identifying different problems over the summer that I could then bring back to school.
So what were they?
Oh, you want me to list them all?
Well, yeah. Well, so you were red dust thing. Was there something to do with like mobility or something?
It was promoting safe, like physically safe and sustainable travel in remote environments, mm-hmm. such as the outback. Because when a lot of people go, say, driving through Death Valley in California or across the outback, they're taking an RV or a truck or something, and that has obviously a lot of negative impacts on the environment. Mm-hmm. So how can you do that in a way that is physically safe for you, the driver, or the operator of whatever it is, whatever solution you come up with, in a sustainable way that doesn't have a negative environmental impact? Mm-hmm. So if that was a thesis topic, you then have to identify who your user is, what are their needs, what products already exist on the market, and why can your solution be better than those products? What's working, what's not working, ergonomic evaluation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, it's a lot to think about, to be honest. I'm just thinking about how long a chicken can stay frozen in the freezer for.
How long?
I'm trying to work it out. I've got some balls in the freezer, chicken balls. Can we work out right now how long they... Yeah, you know, long after can I eat them? Because they've been in there probably about 2 months already.
Well, that was the thing that you went through my fridge the other day, and you're pointing at things saying, that could be frozen, that could be frozen.
Oh, that was more your leftovers that you planned to bin when you could have like cooked it, separated, frozen, and then had those for later.
Is it raw or frozen? Is it raw or cooked?
Raw.
It's raw, okay.
How long we got, Mr. 97?
Cooked is 2 to 6 months.
Yep. 2 to 6, big difference between, okay, so 2 to 6. But big difference huge. From 2 to 6. So at what point beyond 2 do you go?
I believe from 5 months it is the Death Valley.
And there's a thesis to be done on that.
Dil, what if you, so when you were here, you were you had a lot of burgers, you had a lot of donuts. Oh, mate.
You're still looking as you were.
Yeah. I mean, you're always skinny fat, as we like to call.
But you're not ripped and rock hard. Yeah.
Viscerally, like your organs are covered. We can't see it. We can only guess.
Your liver is a piece of fat.
Yeah. And so, on a scale of, I don't know,
fat
Mr. 97 to fatty liver, how healthy are you?
I'm about halfway between Mr. 97 and a fatty liver right
okay,
now.
Okay, yeah. And so what is your diet in Canada right now?
Diet in Canada? Well, I had a poutine yesterday, which was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. That was like the first unhealthy meal that I've had since I've been back, really.
Are you lying?
I don't believe that. No,
I can't afford like unhealthy food here.
Unhealthy food is, what about like Maccas and stuff?
Nah, that's disgusting.
What about chocolate bars?
I still have a Hey Tiger chocolate bar in my
desk. Do you?
Oh, really?
I mean, you bought 40 of them if you only got through 39.
You gave a lot
of money. No, I gave them all away.
Oh, okay.
I gave
them all. Good feedback?
But no, it's like...
Good feedback?
Everybody loves them. Everybody loves them.
Oh, that's good.
They say, oh, where can I get it? It's in Australia. And then they look at it and then the shipping's just ridiculously expensive. Like, it's good.
But-
shipping food internationally is
hard work.
It's very hard work.
And so what have you been dreaming of since you've been back? Have you got any aspirations in the works?
I mean, I haven't really been dreaming of anything because I really haven't slept since I got back. But aspirations, wow.
Well, Dil, you have an announcement. That you made. I mean, you're the Dil announcements Toraville.
Yeah.
That's
you. He's just waiting to secure when I'm making any of my announcements so he can schedule them around the same time.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see when Josh makes something.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Okay. What can I come up with that's going to destroy?
What's the chance that episode 500, all of a sudden, he just comes out of the AU79 kitchen?
That'd be funny. So I missed this, but you put somewhere that you had an announcement to make.
Yeah, 3D Dill told me, he said, I've got an announcement relating to 3D Dill. Yes, he was talking in third person. or he's separated himself as a character. And
did I say that?
Yes, I think I've got it in text messages. You said in December, you've got a 3D Dill related announcement.
I do remember that. But I don't
you
know
don't remember the
3D Dill related. I want to check this now.
When you've been drinking, you know.
Have you been, when the day before you left, you and I had a long walk through Fitzroy Gardens and you were talking about, I think I'm going to switch off social media. How has that been? Have you done it?
I mean, I think in that context, we were talking about not buying Wi-Fi on the plane.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I didn't get Wi-Fi on the plane, but I've significantly reduced the amount of time I've spent on Instagram since being back. Part of that is consciously,
because
I don't want to be spending a whole lot of time on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
But also B, it's either I can spend time on Instagram or I can then not finish stuff I have to do for school, and I want to finish school on a good note.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like between Instagram and school, I'm going to pick school every time. Mm. But it has
your weird sometimes.
Yeah. But no, I have reduced the amount of like social media usage.
Have you been DMing many people?
I've gotten quite a few DMs from people who have DM'd the podcast before saying like, hope you're settling back in Canada. All right. And, we miss hearing you on the show. Ian Trainer reached out and said hope all is well, and Hayden did, of course. Campbell James, all the good people.
Yeah, so nice.
Yeah.
And have you thought about what life is going to be like once you finish school, and how long have you got left?
I've got, as of today, I've got 7 months left of school.
Oh, that's not long.
Yeah.
No.
It's less than double the amount of time that you spent here.
Yeah.
It's 1 month less. If you're getting tricksy with it.
Yeah. Is that not a good number?
I mean, yeah, it's...
One month less than double the amount of time that I spent
here. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's hard. It's a stretch to get to that equation.
Yeah, sure. No, I get that. I was just trying to reference it back to us. So anyway,
it's weird life after uni for a lot of people. Karen's in the room. We've got... young Karen here. What's for you after uni?
Yeah, Karen, what have you got planned?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's the most of the response of university students.
So, Karen, you do some video stuff with us. You helped film when Mr. 97 got his hair bleached. Is this first year uni? Or
first year.
Yeah. And when you see now that you've spent the time here, what's the things that stand out in regards to what you want to do once you finish?
I don't know. Honestly, I want to have a break from uni and working.
Yeah.
And just like enjoy life in general.
Mm-hmm.
And then figure out what I want to do for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So it's a big thing to figure out, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's a big...
I mean, yeah, that idea of... Dill, did you ever take any break from school?
No, I went straight from high school into college.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people defer.
The only break I had was like 2 months of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't much of a break.
Really. Mr. 97, you've got a mate who's deferred uni. Was Jace, is he deferred?
No. He's doing like 1 unit per semester.
So he's doing 1 unit per semester, right?
He's pushed his degree out to 9 years now.
If you're pushing a degree out to 9 years, is it fair to say it's not happening?
Yeah, like that's one thing. Okay, so not going to name names, but there's a individual in the program now who started the program that I'm about to finish.
Mm-hmm.
I'm finishing this program in 2020.
It's so bitchy when you say I'm not going to name any names.
This individual started in 2012.
Yeah.
Right?
So 7 years.
Yeah, well, no, like eight, going on, like going into her eighth year now.
Okay, yeah. Mm.
She ideally would have graduated, April 26th.
Oh my God, is her name April? Have you just given it?
No.
Okay, sorry.
But she's done the thing where she takes like one class per semester, mm-hmm. but it's somehow continuously failed these classes from neglect to show up in the first place.
Yeah, sure.
You don't want to be that person that takes one class.
Yeah, I mean, it's a slow. I guess you got to ask why are you doing it, Karen? Why do you feel that you're doing what is your degree? What's it called?
Bachelor of Design, Digital Media.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think? What do you get out of it? Do you think?
Just the exposure to different media in general,
mm-hmm.
and the ability.
That was a loud bang, wasn't it? Sorry, there's just a courier outside. I think sound like they hit our building, but we're fine.
And the ability to just work with other people in other fields.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, Dil, how diverse is your actual course? Like, are you doing stuff? Should we check that?
Mason can check. He's got a window rather than just looking like a stunned cat. He can be looking out the window.
Can you hear the banging, Dil?
Yeah, it sounds like it's right outside the window.
Okay, well, stand by. Let's
could
see.
Be on your end too.
We'll it's get 97 to report.
Full what is update.
They're throwing pallets onto the truck.
Okay. Yeah. That'll sound like that.
That's the secret sound.
So, Dil, is it a diverse range of media stuff or do you think it's pretty specific?
It's, I would say for what I'm doing is mm-hmm. pretty specific because it's a lot of stuff geared towards what an industrial designer would use in the industry. So there's 3D modeling software, there's digital sketching, and then there's the whole Adobe suite set of stuff. But we don't touch like film or anything like videography or even photography. They don't touch on that at all.
So is this your third year, Dil, or fourth now?
Fourth year.
Okay, Karen, do you have any questions for someone who's on their fourth year and seeing what he's done? Do you have any questions specific to looking into the future of where he's at?
Is it easier in the final years or is it harder?
Like, it's a lot harder. Okay. It's a lot harder.
Yeah.
Like it's harder in a different way though, because I think when you're in your first year, and I think this goes for college or university kids in general. I think your first year, you're still trying to figure out who you are and what you actually want to do. There's like so many of my friends started a program and then dropped out after a year because it wasn't for them. So it's a hard time figuring out whether or not it is the right thing for you to continue pursuing for another 3, 4, maybe 5, 6 years.
It's almost like relationships. Like when you first start a relationship for the first couple of years, you're sort of like, it could be a very small thing where that would trigger a point of like, do I want to be in this relationship or not? But once you've been in a relationship for 12 years, all of a sudden, like, it's going to take a very big thing to sort of rattle that.
Oh, I think, I mean, for all relationships, it's a different period of time. It could be a year before you work that shit out.
And so like,
this is a waste of time. If I'm not going to, if we're moving forward, all of those things get taken off the table. I think the biggest shift though is the life after uni, because there's a whole new challenge of, what does life look like now? What does my structure look like now? Mm-hmm. And how do I actually use what I'm doing? Like my brother did an industrial design course and he ended up leaving before the end and then finished it, you know, after the fact. But he got a job and then now like what he's in is a sales role within an industry that utilizes industrial design.
Yeah.
So it's like his degree – he's not, you know, he's done the industrial design thing, designing helmets and shit for the Tour de France, some cool stuff, but now he's not an industrial designer.
Mm.
And so there has to be some level of being fluid and flexible in what you end up doing, because these programs aren't fluid or flexible in what you end up becoming, because they're set out to give you a degree in industrial design, which is X, Y, and Z.
Mm.
So it's a pathway. That's the hard thing about university that I struggle with, is this specific pathway to do X, Y, and Z.
Well, it's an industry specific thing to then, it's almost like people who say, I want to work in radio, sort of a similar thing where it's like you learn all the different bits and then you say, okay, I want to do this part of it or that part. Karen, do you feel that you're still in your first year, are you asking yourself, do I want to finish the course?
Yeah, I wanted to finish the course.
Okay. So, but does it ever come up as a question in regards to, am I on the right path? Do I want to do it?
Yeah, because in first year, we have to do all different media. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm conflicted between different specializations.
And so do you have to pick a specialization? Yeah. Okay. And what's it between? Which two? We can decide for you.
Well, right now it's between digital video and environment.
Okay. So, like, and so what's environment?
3D modeling, AR stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
And just video.
Okay, sure. Just video. That's hurtful. It's just video. You know, video is a good skill to have, Karen. A lot of people dream of understanding video.
I was looking yesterday at how much a police officer gets paid. I was thinking, like...
Can I guess? 85 grand?
So it's like a rookie, a junior or something for the first 6 months within, you know, is 50 something. Mm-hmm. And then it goes to like 69,700 and you get like cool... So you get like 7 weeks of annual leave.
Free Maccas.
Yeah, but it becomes a job. Like, that's a clear occupation where you do your job and you get your time off and you get remunerated accordingly. And it's like good government benefits. Whereas a lot of these new occupations of video and industrial design, I mean, industrial design is not new, but where you end up placing in the work environment are so different. Like, we don't know yet. Like, you don't know where your skills will be used as an industrial designer in the modern day workforce. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think the reason I was looking and interested is because it's so clear. It's no headache there of just doing your job, rocking it. It's almost the closest thing to the industrial era of, you know, being on that part of the line, the working line, the police force. It seems quite clear.
And so, Karen, are you... Are you conflicted based on, is the AR, 3D stuff, is it less clear what job you could do in that field?
No, it's because I know I am good at video and I know my way around it, but 3D stuff is something completely different and I really like it.
Mm-hmm.
But then the coding stuff is like just outrageously really bad.
Yeah.
Hard. I don't know.
And
hard, yeah.
And so is the 3D stuff, does that require the coding?
No, but the making of the games and stuff, it requires coding.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I feel like throughout my life I've gravitated towards things that I'm terrible at and said, I'm going to work this out. Like coding, there's been so many times where I've like downloaded all the software and I've like, set it all up. I'm like, I'm going to build a website. I'm just going to work it out. And then I get into it. Do you remember 97? Yeah, that literally happened like 6 months ago. And I'm just like, actually, I could just get someone else who can do it.
Yeah, because you can't live in the process of it because the process is not what you enjoy. So there's things that are hard that you can enjoy being in the process.
But I guess that's what's exciting about being a student or being in that space is there's no expectation for you to have your thing yet. You can be experimenting and, like, I guess there's, say, within the video space, for me, there was a piece of software called Shake and it was a compositing software and it was, like, the software that all of the big motion picture, like, studios would use when it came to, like compositing. So that would be,
making a squeegee disappear into
like rotoscoping or doing all sorts of things, you know, all that sort of stuff. And the software went from costing like $30,000 and Apple bought it and they made it like $800 to buy.
And so
I bought the software. I'm like, I'm gonna learn this. And it was node based. And so like it was like a completely different way of working.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's an example of where the coding mindset actually works really well with the video stuff.
Mm. The person who wins in any of these is the one that just can spend 8 hours and not realize that they just spend 8 hours. It's the equivalent for me with video. I can spend up to like when early days, probably not now because I'm just
old and tainted,
or I'm optimized my 8 hours into two, whichever way you like looking at it, but I can spend it in the edit.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it's like, that's a signal of the thing that I can just do and be in that is difficult, that brings value to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard when you're at uni because it's not, it doesn't seem for me, it's like, I don't see the result in terms of my progression or it being a job where I'm being remunerated for doing the thing. It's a hard one.
Well, because it's not using actual like proper market pressures.
Yes.
It's not like actually, oh, if I do this thing, I'm going to make this money or it's going to help. Whereas like, Karen, you're really good at a bunch of the video stuff and that's because like you've been paid to do the video thing before. And so it's like, oh, I need to work out this thing and it's actually solving this exact problem.
We got an email from Kyle Richardson. Mm. Our homie Kyle, he says...
he emailed us, I think, in like early 200s.
Yeah, early 200s. And anyway, he said, "Hi, Gronks. I've recently quit my job at Macca's and left university due to landing a new job working for Bendigo Bank. The commute is an hour, which allows me to come back to listening to the Daily Talk Show, which I've been wanting to do for a while." Appreciate I mean, it. That's a full-time job in itself. Yeah. So we get it, Kyle. Thanks, mate. Thanks for finding an occupation that allows you to let the Gronks in to your life. You blokes answered my question on episode 270 and I appreciated it. I've seen the graphs that have been shared showing your podcast viewership increasing and it's really motivating to see how far you guys have come, constantly working hard on the podcast, blah, 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 more pumping of our tires. I have a question for you, Gronks, which is what I wanted to get to. I'm interested in starting a YouTube channel where I plan on writing, recording and uploading educational entertaining videos on topics that I have a desire in researching and learning about. I've always wanted to create content. However, I never seem to know where to get started or have the motivation to begin. How do you get started in your creative endeavors? Thanks for reading the email. Keep up the good work. Your homie Kyle. I added that last bit. But yeah, I think the motivation thing is I would struggle to find the starting power to be doing it in an environment where there isn't the market pressures or those kind of things.
Well, I think also the problem now is it's like everything is really tangible and obvious. And so it's like, oh, you can have a YouTube channel, it can blow up and do all that sort of thing. When I started doing video, there was none of that sort of stuff. So you're purely doing it out of the love of working out, like being creative and making the thing. And so not saying that Kyle doesn't have those things, but it can be overshadowed with the destination. YouTube seems accessible. And so because it seems accessible, you then can say, I want to do that. Whereas when you watch a Hollywood film, you never – it seems so far away, you don't think that you could necessarily be a Hollywood director until you do all these other steps.
Mm.
And so I guess that's part of it is it's stripping back that destination, stripping back the, I want a YouTube channel, I want this, I want that, and focusing on what the actual process is, which is I am going to do a video diary. Like Kyle, a great thing to do could be to put up a GoPro and say for the final 10 minutes of my trip on the way home, I'm going to do a video blog where I just talk to camera about my experiences. And then at the end of the year, you could look back and see the progress that you've made.
Oh, yeah. And I think if you look at anyone who is successful on YouTube, it's and then reverse engineer that, it's like – they're the nerds in their field, right? Matt Diavella is a filmmaking nerd who likes minimalism. You know, he lives this life. And so that's his existence. And the sort of byproduct of that comes this video at the end of it.
It's having less pressure, I think, on the whole thing. So it's like it's a thing that I hated as a kid, which was like everyone's got an iPhone or everyone's got like back then it was like everyone's got like a camcorder at home.
Yeah.
Just pick it up and use it.
But not everyone likes – doing that or is
you need to test that, right? Which is like it's the equivalent of saying I think I need a podcast, I want to do podcasting, but then not actually enjoying having deep conversations.
Yeah, I think for us the finding the momentum in doing this many episodes has been an enjoyment in actually sitting down to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've never done this with pumping out a video as much as I talk about being able to sit for multiple hours.
For 2 hours, stop bragging.
For 2 hours.
Guys, you can do 2 hours worth of work. It's phenomenal, isn't it?
At a time, I'll have a break and then I'll come back for another two.
No, then you're wrecked.
But I was able to do a bit in 2 hours. No, to be honest.
2 hours deep work? Can we call that deep work?
I hope it's deep work. I mean, could be just be rearranging clips. Does exporting count? Exporting a big 4K?
Yeah.
But so then what's the answer? How did you get started in your creative endeavors? I think it does come down to, like Karen saying, university is you get to try all these things. This is doing landing on a YouTube channel where you can consistently upload. Like you have to go through your own university.
Yeah.
Which is trying. So university allows you to try. They assign you projects. That's what I do like about it. It's like forced projects. For me and you in my life, I've forced myself to do projects, committing to a bunch of vlogs. You know, I've done that 5 times, but I've done their 5 different projects, committing to, I don't know, a bunch of other stuff. The radio stuff for me made me show up. So that was like a forced project. But I get
it's
paid
definitely
for it,
yeah. I mean, yeah, it doesn't have that. It doesn't have the clear outcome that becoming a police officer, where it's like a police officer has to do X, Y, and Z to get there.
I think the advice though about, which I think a lot of people preach, is like, what's the one thing you can do daily that will get you, that will just get you started, and by the end of 60 days, you will have done this one thing daily.
That's why I think that. If you look back at where people have done really well, and like, or people, YouTubers, and where they've come from, heaps of them have come from Vine. And I reckon the reason why Vine was so successful was because the barrier to entry was so low.
Yeah.
So it was actually just heaps of people doing it, and they were getting better at it, and they were able to build that momentum. How many people have become successful YouTubers based on creating a feature-length doco? Outside, like Diavella is one of the only examples. Yeah. So you look at it, it's like he's taken something that requires so much effort and then translated that across to the, doing the YouTube stuff. Whereas, yeah, I think that there's something in very, very, very small. And that's why I think TikTok is actually an interesting one, because TikTok takes a bunch of things off the table. You don't necessarily have to worry about dialogue. You've got these very specific constraints of take this song, take this idea. And I know when I got started, it was all about parodying other people or other things. And so it's like the ultimate version of that. It's like before you create your own memes, you're probably going to go and steal someone else's meme and then...
Yeah, 100%. And what I was saying about the simplistic nature of that advice of do something every single day, something really small, and then over a year you've done 365 of them, or shown up 365 times. The thing about that, I feel for us, it's like if you can hack that and work that out, success should be on the other side of that somewhere down the track. I don't know what it looks like, but I feel like it's the hack. If you can hack it, the Casey Neistat doing a vlog every day for 400 days and him becoming a mega star. It's like he just hacked the consistency. Sure, he had all the other stuff, but you're right. It is the hack, if there's any, is just doing something every single day.
Going to Los Angeles in a few weeks, part of the plan is for me to sort of get my diet in order, which means I've been drinking more water, which if I have been looking distracted, it's because I'm absolutely busting to piss. So we are going to finish up. Before we go, Mr. 97, can you give us the LA fact of the day?
The Santa Monica Pier was designed as a sewage pump to send sewage out to the ocean.
Quite good.
So is there a pump there? I mean,
it's like a pipe. I don't know if the pipe's underneath it, but yeah, that's what it is designed for.
Don't go swimming around there?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, people surf right next to the pier because it has a nice little suck in a little break.
Any final thoughts, Ray Dill, before I piss my pants?
No, not that I can think of.
We'll have to get you back on again soon.
Absolutely.
Are you going to come visit Australia again? What's the deal?
Oh, I will come visit Australia again. I got to pay it off first.
Yeah, great. Join the club.
No, just double down.
Yeah, mate. Like, you just go to another bank. You're doing it wrong. Good mate.
Well, I'll be back.
You're looking healthy. You're looking great. So, and you've trimmed your neck beard. It looks very good. Karen, thank you for coming in as well.
Thank you for having me.
And Kyle, thanks for the message, mate. I think if this was some tangible advice, write a list of 5 different versions of what Josh said, a video diary in the car, on the way to your job, and a bunch of other and then just pick one, see if you can do it for 30 days and then do another one for 30 days.
And finding, it could even be as simple as I'm going to do 1 fun boomerang every single day. Yeah. You put it out there.
Yeah.
If you enjoyed the show, feel free to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. You can also be like Kyle. You can quit your job and join Bendigo Bank, or you could also just email us to hi at the Daily Talk Show. com is the email address. Thank you, Dil. Thank you, Karen. We'll see you tomorrow, guys. You're not going to say goodbye?
No, I don't know what else. See you guys.
You're weird.